Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm Haley Steele.
And I'm Emma Mailman. And we have with us a wide range of guests today. We have Deanna Zarella, who's the Vice President of Human Resources at AIS. Andrea Pion, who's the Vice President of National Client Programs at the Davis Companies. And Chris Cianci, Founder and Partner of Tribal Vision.
Yeah, we also have with us, big panel today, Jeff Turgeon. He is the Executive Director of Mass Hire Central Region Workforce Board. And of course, our one and only Christy Grignon, who is our Sales and Marketing Director at MassMEP. So we're going to dig into this podcast and we're going to talk about some topics today regarding workforce, market, recruit, and retain. So, Emma, let's get going on this.
Yeah, so I'll start off with Chris. So, Chris, what can you bring to recruiting and retaining the manufacturing workforce from a marketing standpoint?
Yeah, my take is going to be more on sort of the, of course, the marketing side. That's going to be more digital focused and social media focused, right? So I think if we're all wondering what each of our sort of angles can, or I don't know what the word is, right? But takes can be, just know at least what my tips are going to be more about, okay, hey, here are some sort of cutting edge ways other than just posting on LinkedIn and posting on Facebook, like what else you can be doing with social and with digital.
All right, so let's move on to you, Jeff. So what do you think you will be bringing to the table with Mass Hire?
One of the things we can obviously talk about is in recruiting staff, you know, the Mass Hire in Massachusetts, Mass Hire network of career centers are doing like virtual job fairs, and we'll be getting back to in-person job fairs. And also our Mass Job Quest, you know, system. These are all offered at no cost to employers.
We've also seen similar success with that, as well as folks that are making those transitions from other industries into manufacturing. And maybe they have, you know, they always like tinkering on their car, right? But they never were, you know, trained specifically, and that there are opportunities to make some of those transitions. And I think there's still a big misunderstanding about what a manufacturing environment might look like. Mm-hmm. Just from looking at the pictures of AIS on the website, I can imagine that your facility is spectacular and not what, you know, we might have grown up thinking of, like, if my dad worked in manufacturing, it was dirty and you came home with greasy fingers. And, you know, the manufacturing of the 21st century is really a clean room in a lot of cases. And it's really spectacular environments that I don't think people expect. And they're not taught and educated about that in school. So I think, you know, that transition and being able to show people that is really an opportunity as well, because they don't understand.
What are you guys hearing from people, job seekers? Are you hearing anything about this new remote, you know, I want to work from home a couple of days a week, and how does that work in the manufacturing space? Are you guys hearing anything like that?
Well, I can just speak on behalf of AIS. That one day, 2 day a week flex time working from home has now come up quite often. So we do have some individuals that are allowing that. And it's not fair, because there are some administrative roles, though, that can't do it because there is so much interaction with the plant. So we are seeing more and more of that here. We're also seeing more and more of candidates coming in. So I recently had a senior marketing manager's role open up, and that was one of the, you know, questions on there by every candidate that I interviewed. Do we, you know, foster and promote a work from home environment? And it's very easy for us to say, yes, we do. It's not something that we do 5 days a week. But we do allow that. And again, I mean, I just think it's a free benefit. I mean, and it makes people feel good. You know, the commotion of getting back into the workforce, having to, you know, get it, sit in traffic and do all that stuff. People are much more effective. And I think studies are showing that as well, too. So we're adapting to that because we are old school manufacturing. And it's kind of like, how do you kind of find that happy medium? Where is that happy medium?
I love some of them had schedules that kind of were like, on 3 days, like they had like a different, like a 12-hour shift or what, and they were like, I love it. I'm done. I can just go do my thing. And so that quality of life balance they felt was much better for them than whatever field they were in before.
I was at a company yesterday. They developed a product in the 1960s, and they're redeveloping that product, but the engineers that developed it are no longer with the company, they're retired. So they're pulling them back in like 2 days a week to come in and resurface their tribal knowledge that they have. And the conversation we had with them was around AR. And can we start to implement AR into these companies so that you actually can work remotely, maybe hold on and retain employees even longer after retirement because they can actually look at everything in real time on the shop floor from their home. They're doing quality. They're looking at models. They're opening things up and where are the problems? So I don't know if there's opportunities like that too in these manufacturing companies to attract more employees that, yeah, we can have a flexible, you know, work week because you can actually be on the shop floor from home now.
Christy, that's a super valid point. And it's something that hopefully there'll be a lot more discussion over that we can bring up, you know, that's going to come about when it comes to the Industry 4.0. But on another side of it, Andrea, is there things that you're seeing that are ways that people maybe had to change or pivot in a similar terms where, you know, changing from something that was old to maybe something that they might need to do new or different because of where we are going with things?
There's a lot about process, old employee apply process. Our application used to be like 14 pages. And now we've done away with that, right? And you just want to get the basic information and talk to folks. And then if they move through the process, then we put more paperwork in. So, you know, the things that were even the barrier to entry of if they have to apply online and provide a resume or answer too many forms, but we've seen process be a problem. If you're too slow, you're going to lose candidates. And if they have to wait to start, you're going to lose candidates. The market is turning that quickly. And we have companies hiring direct hire, but the candidate has to wait 2 weeks and they're losing 50% because of that 2 week time period, they can find something else in between.
I definitely think that makes a lot of sense. I think people my age and within my generation are so eager to land a position that when it's taking a bit of time to solidify it, at the same time, they're simultaneously looking for other roles just because of that anxiety about getting a job. So I definitely agree with you. And on top of that, I think that there's definitely methods that can be used in order to, you know, ensure that the person that you want for that role is going to stay in that time period, still engaging with the company versus jumping to another position that comes up.
Is there a specific way to go after that younger generation or offering things? I'm going to use my daughter as a perfect example. She works for a company. They offer tuition assistance. They pay $5,200 a year. You know, Emma was saying, you know, scholarship programs like these, please, you know, are these the things that you're using? Do they work? And then once you get them in there, how are you keeping them involved and then kind of training them to be that next generation?
I can certainly, you know, again, I'll speak on behalf of kind of what we've done to try and get a little bit creative with this. So one of the main focus points that we have been doing, and of course, COVID kind of put that on hold, but it was making sure we developed really strong relationships, particularly with this trade schools, because I think that was, you know, for AIS, there's a lot of really great qualified candidates that can come in and fill a lot of these roles that we have here. So it was definitely build those relationships. We also host every year manufacturing days here. So we bring in students from any school that is willing to participate with us. And we host, there's probably between 75 to 100 students that come in on any given day. And we show them exactly, you know, this is not your old school manufacturing. We also show them, you know, we have developed our own AIS university. So we have our own AIS university school, which gives them the opportunities to receive certifications on certain machinery. And with those certifications, obviously, come the financial rewards. As we're trying to recruit, retain, especially, you know, kids getting out of high school, they may not really know what they want to do when they grow up. So come in, learn a trade, understand that we're going to invest as much time. If you're willing to learn, we're going to invest as much time as we can in you and give you these skill sets that hopefully you're going to stay at AIS to build on, but they're transferable no matter where you go. And we're also going to give you the ability of, you know, you want to try a college course, take a college course. There's a lot of great things that we can do. It's just getting the word out there so they know that a company like AIS, you have just opportunities beyond what you think. You can come through manufacturing, but you know what? You can fast track through our customer service. You can become a project manager. You can go out there and do the installs at customers. Once you have that knowledge base, we're willing to put that time into you, but it's getting it out there and making sure they can see it. Reading about it is one thing. I think this is a generation that needs to see what we're actually talking about. And they need to be able to kind of feel that culture too. It's like, that's a big part of when you're getting people in. The culture is really, really important in selling people, retaining people, and keeping them engaged. That's a big, big part of it.
It sounds like there's a pretty clear career pathway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you start here, this is where you can get to go. And Chris, I am going to assume that you actually have that at Tribal Vision as well.
It's all defined.
Yeah. And I just think that that's so important. Are you still working with the Handshake app?
I'm just going to say that Handshake is what I use too. Yeah. It's a really simple app. It's, you know, it's colleges and universities. And it's not just, you know, four-year colleges, but it's, you know, you have a job opening and you put it out there once you do it, and you can select the schools you want to send it out to, or you can, you know, again, just send it out mass, but you have to be accepted into it. So you have to, you know, you upload what your job description is. You typically put salary, kind of what it's looking for. It's a full-time direct hire, you know, summer help, whatever it is, you define what that is. And again, the colleges then upload that onto their job boards. So it goes out across the country because I'm recruiting for designers, salespeople, and things like that, but it gets into their alumni and, you know, something that I would not have access to. So it's a huge database of colleges and universities where you can actually recruit from. So you put it out there. And then once that gets posted, if there's a, you know, someone from that college university that's interested, they're going to send an application in, or they're just going to say, hey, I saw the job posting. Can you give me a little bit more information as to what that is? And, you know, I've had a couple of hits on it. I've actually recruited off of that for an interior designer. So I had done it. Obviously, it was a design school that had reached back to me. But I find that it's, you know, it's very easy. I mean, it's kind of one and done. You put it out there, but you just have to make sure not every college is going to accept your posting. So sometimes you'll get a reply back, declined, not going to, or they need more information before they'll actually upload that onto the website. And I find it to be a very useful tool. And it's literally, it's so easy to use, but it's just another source of recruitment for me.
We use it as well. And the other thing I'd say of the things you said, Deanna, especially about culture, is we found from probably Emma's generation and the folks coming out of school is they also care about culture, but community service and giving back. Yes. And what those programs are. And even if they don't participate, they want to know you're doing it.
Right.
So, you know, again, back to Deanna's point that people aren't taking advantage enough of the education reimbursement, but knowing they have it. And we always try to think about what is their conversation going to be with their parent or with somebody else in their life when they talk about the experience. So how did it feel when they came in and were interviewed, and did they have a good experience there? So just kind of trying to see it through that lens that if you're targeting that younger workforce, they're going to share this with somebody. And so think about it that way of how you're providing all of this information that they don't get. I remember my kids going, what's an HSA and why should I care? And I'm like, you want to know, you don't care now till you're 26 and off my insurance, but yeah, you want to know that they have it, right? So you're not just educating your job seeker, you're educating their network as well, that's going to talk about this and help them see the whole big picture rather than just the job. So just a couple other pieces to remember when you're talking culture and the whole environment that you're trying to present to your candidate base, right? It's silly, but people like a company barbecue in the summer, right? Like that's going to get you a lot of traction of doing some little things like that, that you can give back and that you're building a community within your organization.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things we talked about, and Emma and I talked about this, you bring up a good point. So like the flexibility of things as well, you know, if there's these kids are, that's what they're looking for too. And, you know, having the work-life balance is great, but also if something happens and like, if they're going to school and they have college, you know, if they have classes and they're the, in these chunks of time, you know, do they have the flexibility of working these specific shifts? Do you reciprocate that back, respect back to them and saying, okay, yes, you know, they're going to need time to study, right? Because you could look at this, that this could be your future workforce. You know, these are, you're bringing them back in. So that's what I look at. My daughter, you know, she'll be 20 and she's like, I need to find somewhere where I can work, make good money, really love doing what I do and enjoy it. But I also need to study because I do want to progress at some point in my life. I don't know when, I'm not sure in what, but I'm going to figure that out. So they seem to be taking, I feel like they, and I apologize, Emma, but I feel like they take a little bit longer than I think we did, but I don't know. I think maybe we were kind of forced more so. So,
well, I think it's value added in both areas because like you're adding value to the workplace when you're physically there, but at the same time, when you go home and you're, you know, furthering your education, that only benefits the company in the future. So it's like you're working in both areas. You're bettering the company when you're there, but then you're bettering yourself for a, you know, possibility in the future to continuously benefit the company that you're working for.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, and I will just kind of add to that as well too. So, you know, obviously traditional manufacturing, you know, you run first, second, third shift. You're an 8-hour shift, 10-hour shift, 12-hour shift. I mean, so that's what it is. So we're like, well, second shift is a hard shift to always recruit for. So it's like, well, okay, well, why don't we just change the way we're recruiting? I said, why can't we hire part-time people? I mean, you know, oh, novel. Well, I said, so we spoke to some individuals and it was funny, you know, it's like, well, so a lot of people want a second job. They need a second job.
Yeah.
But they don't want to work a full 8-hour, 10-hour. I said, so make it attractive. I said, people that are working first shift, they want to be able to go home. Yeah. So, you know, have a shift start at 5:30, have them work till 9:30. I said, I would rather see somebody in here for a 4-hour shift than not having to run a machine because we don't have the manpower. So within one day of us advertising, hey, we're hiring part-time 5:30 to 9:30. Oh, guess, by the way, the you know, sign-on bonus is still, you're still available for that. It's like, again, they were like, oh my God, I can go home, catch a little bit, you know, have dinner, have lunch, shower, go to a work and still get home at a decent time. You're not getting home like crazy late, but it's also for kids too. It's like, all right, hey, you know what? I'm a young kid, 5:30 to 9:30. I can still go out at night if I really want to. And I can sleep in the morning as well too. I've had hits on that. So it's like it targeted an audience that we never thought of doing because we just weren't thinking outside of that box. It's like the 3-4 people that we have doing that right now, it's better than, again, not having someone there. So it's, we're trying to get a little bit more creative on those more difficult positions to fill. It's, you know, it's in its test stage. But again, it's a win-win. It helps the individual coming through. It helps us as a company and it gets the word out. Hey, you know what? ANS is pretty cool. They're allowing me to do this. And oh, I still have a life. And oh, I got this and I get that, you know, and the other side of that is too, we do a $500 employee referral bonus. So if I'm referring 3 people, I can get $1,500 and there's no cap on it. And yeah, believe me, I've actually paid out a tremendous amount of money on that. There is a requirement, obviously, they're just not on day one, but you know, there has to be a time period in which somebody stays and we're going to get it. But again, we're trying whatever we can to do that and also keep employees engaged so that they want to stay, so they know, okay, there's also this incentive that I can get. But it isn't just about the incentives, it's about the culture and why people stay. And a lot of people say they just stay because it just feels like, you know, it's family here. So why do we make it feel like family? Okay, every Friday we bring in donuts. I mean, Gourmet Donuts comes in and brings in, you know, 600 donuts. It's amazing how far a donut can go for individuals here, but it works, so we do it.
I love the part. I love the part time though too, because their foot's in the door, right? Yeah. So as soon as they do need more money, they're staying.
There was a discussion we had, kind of a meeting of the minds, if you will, between like our school partners that Mass Hire works with through our Connect Activities program and some area manufacturers. And one of the things that had come up is like, you know, parents aren't looking to send their kids into manufacturing, right? Fair enough. I mean, everyone's kids going to Harvard and all that, but it was really interesting. The dynamic changed when you say, okay, like, you know, young people and you as a family might not be saying, hey, you're going into manufacturing. However, if your junior or senior student came home and said, hey, I have an opportunity for a part-time job that's aligned with school credit and pay, kind of like, hey, what do you think? An after-school job that I'm getting paid for? Yeah, that sounds good to me. Is it safe? Is it okay? Go for it. Why not take it, right? Especially if you could align it with some school credit. Yeah. Like, it's a no-brainer at that point. And you would get a lot of, you know, I think family buy-in and young person buy-in that are kind of resistant or hesitant. It's the networking. I mean, how many people kind of fall into a career because, hey, I was doing something. All things being equal, I'm getting a paycheck. I like the people I'm working with. I know where the company fridge is. You know what I mean? Like, you just kind of fall into a habit. You're like, before you know it, 3 years have gone by. You've moved up a couple ranks. And maybe, especially if there's like a college tuition reimbursement, all of a sudden you fall into a career. Like, I think that's how a lot of people kind of operate, right? It's not this long-term goal, this life, you know, career planning. No, it's kind of like you get somewhere, you get comfortable, you see people investing in you, all things being equal, things are going well. I'm happy here. And if you can kind of show them, hey, you stay with us, we're investing in you. In 5 years, we've got another, you know, you'll be making it to, you know, whatever next step there is, you know, so I think that cuts across the stigma.
No, super valid points, Jeff. We definitely agree. I mean, Emma, you probably a lot of the stuff that we've talked about today is pretty relevant to what you guys experience. And when I say what you guys, I know that's very general, but when you're coming out of college. Yeah, right. Yeah, you're picking up what we're laying down there with this, just going after your generation of the workforce is really where we're heading with a lot of this too. So, I mean, do you have anything else?
I think it's important to highlight a lot of these things as well, just, you know, to increase awareness of the reality of what's going on and how to engage a new generation of people coming up in the workplace.
Yeah. Do you think there were some things in this today that we talked about that you learned that maybe you didn't know and that you is something that you think is very important that should be made more known to the younger audience?
Well, I think a takeaway was, which obviously I didn't have this perspective before because I wasn't working, but the efforts that you know, employers are taking to, you know, engage the younger generations, I think it's important just because it is very different than other generations that have come up. And, you know, the way that we think and act might differ from, you know, the people before us. So figuring out new ways to engage with us and to connect with us, I just think is highly important.
Yeah. I think I'm very thankful. It's great for us as an organization, like at Mass MEP, to have you on staff with us because it does help us a lot of times. We can talk through different perspectives because, you know, we've been through a different, you said what periods of time is how you describe it. And so our perspective is just a little bit different, but being able to share and connect this with you, it does help us gain a broader vision on where we are headed and maybe some of the items that we need to put a little bit more emphasis on for that future generation to be a part of manufacturing. So yeah, so we're thankful that you're with us, and like we said, obviously we'd love for you to stay with us forever, but we do have an understanding that you may not. And if you don't, maybe you might end up with one of these guys out there, you know, right? Doing something for them. So
I guess the future will tell, but yeah. I love Mass MEP, so I think the odds are minimum.
Yeah. You and Henry Hall, that's usually one of his favorite taglines too. I love Mass MEP. All right. So thanks, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, and we will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.